Good afternoon. It's 5 o'clock on Tuesday, and Alan and I are both old enough and grew up in Britain. So if it was Friday instead of Tuesday, I'd say it's Friday, it's 5 o'clock, it's Crackerjack, which was a very famous children's TV program. And
you feel old.
Nothing like a powerful tagline to remind you 40 years plus ago that everybody tuned in and watched it at that time. Anyway, I digress. Welcome to What Comes Next Live. My guest this week is my close colleague and highly esteemed friend, Alan Wick. We have known each other about a decade, and we both have many commonalities, including growing up around racing cars. And also, we were both entrepreneurs before we got in at least a decade ago into supporting business owners as business coaches around business and leadership. Alan, it's been an absolute pleasure to get to know Alan a lot better in the last few years since I moved to London, which is his bailiwick. And he has a lot of things going on, and I'm just looking forward. I will now hand the mic over to my friend Alan. And Alan, what comes next? Tell us a bit about yourself first and then anything you like.
Well, firstly, thank you so much for inviting me, Tom. I'm delighted to be on your show. As I said before we went on air, what you're doing is just great, and these half-hour formats are such a great idea because they're nice snippets, aren't they, and focused, concentrated bits of hopefully some interesting stuff that we can talk about. So really good work, and I've listened to some of your previous guests, and there's some really inspiring people. So to be among them, I feel really honoured to have been invited onto your show. I'm in the middle of making a dream come true for me. So it's an exciting time. It's something I've planned a few years ago, and I imagined doing. And the power of belief is just, you know, we hear it over and over again, and we talk about it with our clients, but of actually imagining something and believing in it, and then it manifests, and then it becomes that much more likely to happen. You know, I can honestly say this stuff works because I've applied it to myself. And it was in a moment in Richmond going back 3 or 4 years when my right arm and right leg stopped working suddenly. And very scary. And I was rushed to hospital. It was 10 days lying there with no right side, basically, wondering what the hell was going to happen to me, and going through every test imaginable to try to understand what the problem was. And I suppose, like anybody, I asked, well, you know, what's the worst this could be? And the medic said, we don't know what this is, but we think it's unlikely, but worst case, it's an aneurysm, and you won't come out of here alive. And if there's something that's going to focus the mind, that was then. What happened, the experience I went through, wasn't what I would have expected or I'd seen in the movies, where, you know, they say your life flashes in front of your eyes, or you go back over all the things you've done you regretted and that type of thing. It was much more, I noticed I regretted all the things I hadn't done.
Right.
And and I hadn't done them through fear or being nervous about putting my head above the PowerPoint, being criticized, doing things that were outside my comfort zone. And I promised myself that if I get out of here alive, to stop being so bloody selfish. I'd been in business 40 years. I was this nice, comfortable, as you said, sort of coaching a few people at a time, some great entrepreneurs, 6 or 8 people in a month, similar to, you know, your business, and thinking, oh, this is fine, and all through recommendation, not needing to do any marketing. And to be honest, Tom, you know, I didn't like admitting this, but there was a bit of arrogance with that I'm above all of that marketing and sales stuff and websites and social media and all of that. So I discovered after a while that it was a very unusual stroke, and that I had a very good chance of coming out, and the prognosis was good. And as I came out in a wheelchair, and then over a period of a year, gradually learn to walk again, use my right side, then go to, you know, a walking stick and so on. I thought, right, I'm going to do what I promised. And this month, I've started a new learning and development program, which I'd imagined doing a few years before in hospital, but knowing that to get there, I would need to do social media, I'd need to have a website, I'd need to shout a bit from the rooftops, which I'm not naturally comfortable with doing. And it's bloody worked, this stuff. And I've got 12 wonderful entrepreneurs.
Perfect.
The business of business, it's called, and we're in the third week of a 12-week program, and I'm loving it. And so what next for me is I want to do this again, and I'll do it in September. And what else can I do, and how many more people could I work with? And maybe I can do more marketing and a bigger website. And that's it now. Forget it. I'm off and running.
That's really wonderful. I remember going to work out when it was. I think it was early summer 2018, so about 3 years ago. We'd not been in touch for a while, so I hadn't even been aware that you'd had this very, very significant medical episode. And I'd written something which you'd read, stalking me. And then being old school in the best way, you didn't want to get on a Zoom call or something. You said, let's meet for coffee. So we met for coffee, and it's always a reminder to thank people who've helped. So, and I always look to do that, and both accept acknowledgements, which I will accept the kind acknowledgements you made at the beginning, and also to give thanks and always to be thankful. And that's what you did. You were, you know, I played a small part in that sort of journey of stepping out. If I fast forward, and it's been a pleasure sort of regularly meeting up with you ever since, and to fast forward to, when was it? 4 months ago, beginning of the year, early last year, you said, let me just have a Zoom webinar and see what people think of the direction I'm going in. And it was a massive success. I was on it. I was in the breakout rooms. It was just extraordinary. And the feeling of tribe and community was amazing. So one of there's this combination of, I mean, you know, you have all the tools in the world to teach people to have the confidence at a tool level about the business of business. And it's not all, it's definitely an and. There is the belief and behavior stuff. So the thing that drew that tribe of 50 plus people, business owners, into the room was one word, which you then put next to the word business. So tell us a bit about that.
Yes. Well, the word is love, and I was afraid of using it to begin with. I do a lot of work with clients on their positioning, and we always, after a process of a few weeks or months, depending on what's going on with the client, we aim to get to a one word that the client wants their business to be known for in the marketplace. And I thought, this stuff works. Every client I work with, when they do the work properly, their business has shot up. It's like unleashing energy. I thought, well, it works for them. I better do it for myself as well. And I tried a few times before, but this time there was with all that experience of being in the hospital and feeling braver, honestly, and feeling that to stop pissing around and go for it more. And then all the work that led up to it, when I looked at the way that I show up and the way that clients were reporting, they experienced the work that I do and they experienced the way I show up. There were words like caring or empathic and other words like that. And a couple of people said, oh, it's very clear Alan really loves what he does. But then after a period of time, my coach said, well, hold on a minute. What are we actually saying here? You've got all this language about warmth and all that stuff. I said, well, really, honestly, I really love my clients. I love my work. I feel like they're my children. I really feel that. And I love business. I've been in it not just for 40 years working in it, but I grew up for 20 years in a in a business family, and I love it. And the coach said to him, what's wrong with that word? I said, well, it sounds a bit woo-woo, and it sounds a bit, yeah, out there. And I sort of did the usual thing that my clients do when I challenge them with something they know damn right is the right thing, but they're a bit afraid of it. And then I said, well, okay, that's it. That is it. That is how I show up. Mm-hmm. It is what I believe in. I'm just afraid to use it, but let's try it. So like a bit like putting a jacket on in a mirror in a clothes shop, I tried it out for a month or so, and I asked some clients, asked friends, colleagues, etc., how does this sound? Could I use this? Would this be right? Oh, yeah, Alan, that's how we experience you. Of course, it's obvious. But okay, bugger it. I'm going for it. Mm-hmm. That's the word I've used since then, and it's unleashed my energy mm-hmm. and my ability then to be able to work with a totally different set of entrepreneurs than I've been doing before, because they've been attracted mm-hmm. to that positioning. Mm-hmm. So it's really worked, yeah.
You and I both work a lot on positioning, and I was actually just giving a talk to a mutual friend of ours and their business this morning. And they said, we need you to talk about positioning. And I said, what do you mean by positioning? And I was reminded of the famous line from The Princess Bride. That word you use, I do not think it means what you think it means. So every word has a different meaning. What I'd like you just to do for a moment is just explain to you, in your words, what do you mean by positioning? And then there's something I'd like you to touch on, which is within that, when we both talk about this using the same framework, we use the word market. And I've got an observation, a thought around how your market for clients has changed through the use of the word love.
In plain English, mm-hmm. it's the perception that the market has mm-hmm. Of your brand. That's mm-hmm. it. It's as simple as that. Mm-hmm. And it's something that is manageable. It's something that you can actively change. It can take time. A great example of that is Volvo, that have been known for safety for decades and decades, internationally known company. And over the past 10 or 15 years, they've totally refocused, repositioned their brand, and are now certainly on the consumer market, are going for innovation. They're going to be the first company, major company in the world, to have an all-electric fleet, and mm-hmm. even the look and design of their cars is now yeah. much more around innovation. Now, that will take at least a decade, if not longer, for our generation to get used to it, but they will attract, and they are attracting, a younger generation mm-hmm. to buy their cars, who wouldn't have dreamed of buying the sort of estate cars that our parents may have bought because they were safe family cars. Mm-hmm. So that's a great case in point, I think, of mm-hmm. being able to reposition in the marketplace. Now, the likes of us, micro businesses, we can move very quickly, mm-hmm. but it still takes several months, I think, maybe mm-hmm. a year, for an existing market, and my existing market, my core market, were certainly experienced entrepreneurs with sizable businesses, maybe between 100 and 250 people, mm-hmm. who would think of me in one way, and then coming out with a repositioning of love, inevitably a bit like an artist coming out with a second record, and they're developing, they're going to lose some of the existing people, mm-hmm. their existing fans, and I've noticed that. However, the upside, to your point, is that I've attracted what I hope to attract, which is a younger, more energetic, hungrier set of entrepreneurs who love what they do, but they don't necessarily feel confident about every aspect of running right. their business.
Perfect. You and I have, there's many similarities, but also very different styles. And so we often express things in different ways. My plain English version of positioning strategically is that if you go to an advertising or marketing or branding agency, they will say your positioning is what you are famous for. And I'll say, so what do you want to be famous for? So, and that's the living into it piece. And the second piece for me, I'm just expressing, I think, differently, broadly what you were saying. which is you can look at your mark. We will look at our market as being in the sort of business you and I are in, is that what type of company, what size of company, how fast they're growing, how old are they? You can look at it in simple terms like revenue levels and number of staff. And that from the sound of things, that has shifted a little bit for you. I'd also say that there's a behavioral element to it. So there's also who are those people and what's important to them apart from money. So for me, for example, I'm looking for people looking at what's next, and my focus is purpose-led leaders. So I'll only work with them. And it's not it's not black and white, it's not all binary, but it has to be a thing for me that they have to have that. So I think sticking love business at the front, particularly in a country like the UK, which doesn't really talk about feelings very much, certainly not used to the Caribbean where I've spent most of my life, which is very feeling based. It's really fantastic. And I go back to that group. So I think 12 feels like an absolutely perfect number for an intensive and committed program, because they were, you went right at it with putting a 12-week program, a significant individual investment in that. So they're really committed to it. Mm. Your energy and commitment and love for what you're doing and the businesses you're working with, I'm sure shines through to anybody watching now or listening later. And so you've already said you might do that again in September for another group. Have you thought about scaling, like actually being the figurehead of a concept? And no, it might sound crazy because neither of us is 21 anymore. But have you thought about building a business around it?
Well, this seems to have happened organically.
It's happening quite fast to you, isn't it? Through you.
Yes, because without meaning to, I've got a great group of people around me, amazing group of people. And if we think back, today we had a lessons learned meeting mm-hmm. with a small group of us, and we used the agile retrospective method, which mm-hmm. I love using this. So what went well, what didn't work so well, and what will we do differently next time? Really simple, mm-hmm. and it assumes everyone did their best, so it's a really great structure. And we realized that we got from scratch to 12 sign-ups at a reasonable amount of money each in 5 weeks, which is an incredible achievement.
That's amazing. That's having done programs like this and filled rooms, that's fantastic. Fresh program.
Yeah. And so having built what I built and thinking, well, I'll do a second cohort and this thing's got legs, and my dream in hospital was I want to make, it's a legacy thing, I think, Tom, of I'd love it if I could positively influence not 6, not 10, not 50, but hundreds, and who knows, maybe even thousands of entrepreneurs. Maybe that is what is happening naturally. And it's happening organically, even though I honestly have not set out to build any empires or scale or anything like that. But it seems to be happening.
Well, you're absolutely modeling some of the things that we talk about as being the most powerful drivers of business. So there's your intent or purpose. There's your personal why. And there's getting clarity of positioning, because it just turbocharges everything.
Yeah.
So you don't need to know, as you know, I'm just saying out loud for the audience, you know this already. You don't need to know what it's going to look like or how you're going to do it. You know, as I put it in my simple language, when you get clear on the why, the how is easy.
Yeah.
Now, you also have that intention, because I remember 2 or 3 years ago, you said, well, okay, as part of that building, you started doing a radio show on a Sunday.
Yes.
You know? And that built an audience, and you started writing more, and you started getting around different networks that would be around those people who had that balance of love of business, but actually needed some confidence boosting scaling up.
Yeah.
So there's that teaching piece in there, and you're a terrific teacher. So a personal reflection right now is I'm kind of in between things right now. And by that, I don't mean the classic employed person of being in between jobs. No, I've got plenty of things going on. But energetically, I feel like there's another project in me, because I am a bit high energy, and I'd like to have to strategize and then implement things. So I picked up the idea of writing a book 3 years ago. develop, because I came up with an evolution of a model I was taught by one of our dear friends and mentors, Ed Percival, years ago.
Mm.
And I got to the point of framing the book, doing interviews, transcribing them, and this evolution just said, there's a book in here. Mm. And I spent 3 months working on it, summer 2018, when it was super hot in London. Mm. And then I got distracted by literally a beautiful business project, which for my collaborator on that turned into a book he launched called Do Build, Alan Moore, one of the latest Do books. Mm. And then for me, I then spun out of that to do something else. But it's come back around, and I've suddenly felt that it's time to write a book.
Mm.
So I have this, you're the 41st guest on this show, and two of the alumni on it happened to contact me yesterday, along with my wonderful VA, Katie, was nudging me on this as well. And there were Alex Barker, who published her, who was a guest on the show, who published her book, How to Be More Pirate, last year with that tribe. Mm. And then my other friend, Rosie von Lila from New York. They're both going, write a book, just write the damn book, like get it out there. So I'm kind of talking to Alex tomorrow, and I'm going, okay, I think I might well write the book. And that's the how is going to vary from person to person.
Yes.
But yes. The why, and both of us really, you know, I mean, I love people. I love ideas. That's what drives me in life.
Mm.
And I love connections. I love these 30 minute conversations. It's quite selfish for me to do them as well, because I just love them. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, if it's giving to other people as well. And, I love business, and I'm a storyteller. So I'm going to write a book where every chapter starts with a business story, mm-hmm. and do it that way. Mm-hmm. And just the simple element of the model, and it automatically writes itself. There are seven archetypes, two columns. There's 14 chapters. Boom. Next thing you know. I mean, heck, what am I holding off from? I've written over 600,000 words on my blog since I started doing it daily 3.5 years ago.
Exactly.
That's about 10 books worth.
Exactly.
So just write a book.
Yeah.
So you're an inspiration, Alan. Certainly, and you wrote a blog on your website is alanwick.com, and you wrote a blog, which I assume is on the website. I saw it on another platform. What was you titled the blog? Can you remember the one about having a stroke and fundamentally how it's one of the best things that ever happened to you?
A stroke of luck.
Beautiful pun. And it's very moving. And actually what people who watch this, and I encourage people who might tune into the podcast on any of the platforms to actually go to the show page, the live page on tommcallum.com, and look at Alan's show and actually watch this man's body language as he's talking through his story.
Hmm.
It's palpable energy. So you seem to be getting younger as every year goes by now, Mr. Wick. You don't look bad for 83.
Thank you. It's the plastic surgery.
And apparently it's, what did you call it? L'Oreal glue that's wiring your hair down until
that's
you get
serious.
To the hairdressers.
Absolutely. L'Oreal glue. Without that, it'd be another foot out in all directions. Yes.
So what else is next, Alan? We've got 5 minutes of chat left. What else comes to mind?
Well, the interesting thing is that it really is a question of manifesting the people we want to attract, and it seeping out of every pore, whether it's body language when you meet somebody, mm-hmm. or social media, or our websites, or anything that we're putting out there into the world. So what I would have called my core market, which was the more established businesses, the more established companies, I did do a fair amount of, over the years, I suppose, fixing things, of dealing with companies that were in some ways dysfunctional, had problems with them. For example, having a disease called what I call partneritis, where it does what it says on the tin, where eight partners aren't getting along with a ninth, or there's some politics going on between the owners, and they built up a business, and apparently it's successful, lots of money, but they all can't stand each other. Mm. Because I have a mediation background as well, I found myself going into companies and doing that sort of work, and I really find it and found it very hard work, very energy draining. Mm. Now, I didn't go out deliberately looking for that work, but without having a clear position, without saying this is what I stand for, mm. and these are the type of people I want to work with, those were among the various things that came my way. Mm. Since being clear about my positioning and being clear about Love Business and putting out these stories about myself and bringing these things together where you're showing as much about your weaknesses and your vulnerability as you are about saying, oh, I'm a great consultant or coach and I'll make you millions, all of that stuff, that's almost a given. Mm. By going out there with your story, what I'm finding is that even the more established businesses that are coming my way are typically from growth-minded, positive mm. people with businesses that have got positive cultures that are actually, to your point, purpose-led, mm. where they care about their staff and their teams. They want to have happy businesses that make money, of course. And then all the actual stats that have been produced, all the reports that have been done over the past 20 years have shown that yeah. purpose-led businesses outperform their competitors commercially anyway.
Yeah.
So what's next for me is knowing what to say no to. That's the Brilliant. Key point. Rather than what's next for me is this or this or that, it's now knowing more what to say no to.
Absolutely perfect. As I was listening to you about 2 or 3 minutes ago, I spun a plate out to one side going, if it's still relevant, I'll ask Alan, what tips could you give people about positioning, right? Because you have many of them. And then as I listened, I went, if I was giving a tip, I'd be saying, this is important to know what to say no to as to what to say yes to. So it's just brilliant you came up with that. I put something because I got clarity on my positioning a little while earlier. And what I found is, and I've been talking about purpose, and I have a model around that, purpose-led leadership model, which is an evolution of the triple bottom line to purpose plus people and planet while making a profit. But purpose is the driver, not profit.
Yeah.
And I keep hearing from people, when I say I keep hearing from, on occasion, people will put their head up and go, yeah, but CEOs and businesses don't give a shit about that. They only care about profit, right? And so I am always looking for stories like the Timpsons, like the Pretts, like others in the UK, others globally, around how it works and how it does work. Mm. But what's happening is the people who don't believe in that aren't going to come anywhere near me because my positioning is really clear.
Yep.
All right. So I don't attract scarce people who are fearful and controlling. Mm-hmm. I attract the young man who bought a piece of furniture I was selling when I moved into my new house. Mm. And he bid something quite low on it to pick it up on a Saturday. And I went, sure. And you go, I was just trying to make space. Mm. And he arrived in his car, loaded it up I helped him load it up. And he said, can I ask you a question? And I said, well, what's that? He says, would you mind if I paid you more for this? And I'll just pay you through my bank account when I get home. I said, well, sure. I'm really interested in why. And he said, well, I've had some not so great experiences on eBay, but I can see what you're selling me is absolutely a new condition. And it doesn't feel fair to only pay you what I offered you. I'd feel much more comfortable paying you another X amount. And he paid another 50% on it.
Amazing.
And he was just a young man who'd been made redundant. And he was working as a delivery driver for one of those grocery stores. And he was about to get a promotion because everybody was putting reviews up for him all the time. And the funny thing is, Alan, I come across examples of abundance like that all the time. Mm. I don't come across many examples of the other. Now, I'm not Pollyanna-ish. They do exist in the world. Mm-hmm. But you know, our positioning shows up in everything we do, as you say. So I'm just saying it in a different way.
Mm. It's everything. And I've also learned, and you asked for any tips, but this may be useful. It's not binary. So I'm going to say yes to this or no to that. So, for example, I was approached recently by a company that wanted me to get involved with their senior management team several times a year, and they wanted me to come in and help them out. Mm-hmm. And when we got chatting, I talked to two of the owners and asked why and what would success look like. To cut a long story short, I didn't feel that I could make a proper difference there, positive difference doing that. So I came back with another way of helping, which mm-hmm. would involve a completely different kind of project and would probably cost a lot more in fees. But I felt that if I'm going to help this particular company and stay true to my purpose and values,
it would need
this is the way, this is how it would fit. And then I let that go without attachment. Mm-hmm. Whereas those, you know, people who are in scarcity with, oh, I hope they'll come back to me. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, well, if they do, they do. If they don't, they don't. And lo and behold, they came back. This is a really interesting point of view. We hadn't thought of this before. We'd like to hear more. Fine. Yeah. So we'll have another conversation. Yeah. And if they hadn't come back, I wouldn't have lost any sleep.
I'm violently agreeing with you on this, as an American boss of mine once said. And mentioning Ed Percival again, his key catchphrase was "Be more you." And I think the power of the word "more" is fascinating, because we can be absolute purists, or we can say, "Are people committed to the journey?" Mm. And it is a journey. And I have a client, longstanding client, that is a very large global company that works in fields that include extractive industries. Now, I hesitated about that, because that's not great for the planet. But are they committed to loving their people, loving the business, focusing on their intent, their purpose, and moving away from that? Mm. And while they're in that, doing it in the most ethical possible way. Mm. Yes, they are. And they're an amazing company. And guess what? Their results commercially are off the charts, because they do the right thing and they put their people first. Mm. And their intent is creating, their purpose in existence is creating community, which they do with their 20,000 plus staff, which they do all of this. So they may be involved in mining and pipelines and this kind of thing. And that's what they happen to be doing right now, because you can't switch off the world while you go on the journey. So sorry, we could go off for ages, but I want to keep to the format. And we're a bit over time. So you've been a model example of what it means to get clear on your why, focus on what that means in your positioning, and just live into it. As I like to do, I'd like to give my guest the final words. So over to you, Alan.
Well, I think that the world has just been through a cataclysm and is still not out of it. And there's a lot of negativity around. Quite understandably, it's quite a worrying time, not just coronavirus. The tectonic plates of world politics are all very, very worrying for everybody. So all I'm trying to do in my own little way is to make a difference among the people I deal with, and I encourage everyone else who listens to this to do what they can do to try to make a positive difference in the world.
Thank you. And thank you for loving business. It's been a pleasure, Al.
Thank you very much, Tom.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.